So it's going to say, oh, Jenny, you can't keep out?
I guess it could. The only thing I don't understand is they don't, I don't understand.
Why did they teach it?
I don't know what their permit's like, but my understanding was their levels were really low. One of the reasons why they had a point B disinfection, well, they have a THM issue. The other issue was they didn't make it get their total land.
Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. This is the regular meeting of the Citizens Oversight Committee, acting as the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. I'd like to welcome everybody, staff, and the audience. Thank you for joining us. We have a quorum here of six members, all in attendance. We'll begin with a moment of silence, followed by the pledge. All right, let's rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will begin with committee member announcements and presentations. I do have an announcement for those of you that may not be aware. I have received and we have accepted the resignation letter from Mr. Dave Batant, who was previously serving on this committee, with some very nice comments in his letter. He was happy to serve. I believe he's been serving for 4 or 5 years at least on the committee. And so while we will miss him, we do thank him for his support of his time and effort. And any other announcements to make, please? Okay, thank you. I will open this up for public comment for items not on the agenda or on the agenda for which you cannot stay for. Please come up and optionally state your name. Thank you. Welcome.
I will. Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Marlis McPherson, and I am your council liaison. And I am here really in my official role today because at our last city council meeting, we approved some changes to the advisory body's handbook, policy handbook, and also to the city council policy handbook. So I just wanted to share these with you so that you are aware of the changes that we've made both to your committee but also to advisory boards generally. So first of all, we clarified the special advisory bodies, which there was a misunderstanding on some people's part about how often they were supposed to meet and what their responsibilities were, and we made it clear that they meet whenever they need to in order to advise the council. So before the council is ready to make a decision on something that requires some input, that's when they meet. But they do not meet on a regular monthly basis, and they never have. And we just wanted to make it very clear. And then they are terminated when their function is pretty much over. So we also terminated the general plan advisory committee, and we terminated the water reclamation facilities advisory committee, and transfer, because for the most part both of those are projects where the major decisions have been made, and it's really just more cleanup. And with WRFCAC, because we've transferred the financial responsibilities to this committee, it made sense to transfer then any remaining kind of cleanup items to the PWAB, because obviously we're at the 90% design and contracts have been let and the pipeline route is fixed, and so the major decisions have all been made on that project. Then we also made changes that were suggested by your chair, Barbara Spagnola, first relating to absences in a calendar year. And we clarify that the council does not need to approve absences except when it exceeds the policy guidelines of more than 25%. So before that, it would be just the advisory committee would grant them and just keep track. And then if it exceeds the 25%, bring it to council. And then we also wanted to make it clear, and we did this in the city council policy handbook as well, that We are only going to select qualified individuals for the advisory board. So if we only have one person apply and we don't feel they're qualified, we may not apply them, and if we approve them. And if we have more than the vacancies apply, we could also then appoint alternates, and then they might step in if somebody resigns in the next 6 months. So we made those changes. Then we also changed the process by which we develop work plans for the advisory boards, and we've done it a variety of different ways over the years, but we're going to follow the one that we did last year, which is we will ask each advisory board for their input into the work plans, into the objectives, as part of the goal setting process, which we do on a regular basis. We set the city goals and then objectives, and then from that follows the work plan, and we will seek input, and then we will, after we have made our decisions about and finalized the goals and objectives, we will then transfer the information back to the advisory boards what their work plan will look like. So you'll have input, but the final decision will be made by the council based on citywide priorities and staff availability and a variety of other things. And then other, not necessarily your advisory board, but some of them were concerned about how do you bring forward recommendations to the council. So we talked a bit about that and felt that oftentimes when an advisory board meets, it doesn't necessarily take a formal vote. And so it makes it very difficult for the staff to know what did they really recommend doing. So, and I know that you have formalized your procedures considerably over time, which is what we've decided they should all do, which is if you want to make a specific recommendation, you need to make a formal motion and second it, vote on it, and then transmit that either by email or through your liaison to the full council so that they can consider it. Otherwise, staff is responsible for summarizing any discussions that you have, and they would include that in a staff report that comes to council. So that's how we kind of formalize that process. And then we wanted to make the way that you deal with staff consistent with the way that the council deals with staff, which is that we always submit questions in writing beforehand to give them time to respond. And not all of the advisory boards do that, but that's just courtesy to the staff so that you don't put them on the spot and make them look foolish in a meeting. And so, I mean, we value our staff and we really want to treat them with respect. And so that's just the accepted practice for dealing with staff. And, you know, advisory boards, just like the council, needs to be very cognizant of staff's time. And they have a limited amount of time, and you know, they don't really work directly for an individual individual or an individual advisory board, or, you know, you just have to be very cognizant that they report to the city manager and they have other responsibilities, so you can't take up too much of their time. Let me see what else. Oh, yes. Then we also wanted to make it more formal how you might change your agenda. I know that there's always this future agenda items, but we feel that because we have work plans and we want the staff to be working on the work plans, if you wish to add items to the agenda, you really need to come to council and ask permission to do that, as well as to change the times of your meetings. Obviously, there's other functions that go on here, so we need to know about those things before you can just do it, as well as forming subcommittees. So it's just a way for us to have a better sense of what the advisory board is doing. And then finally, we did modify your duties, and that was in response really to your own discussion that you had when you went through the list of duties and modified it, and I took careful notes, and I actually just made it reflect what you said. We also wanted to clarify that the only oversight role that you have is with respect to Measure Q. Otherwise, for all of the other financial issues that you deal with, it's advisory only. And then finally, we changed the frequency of meetings of advisory boards. And that's largely, again, because of limited staff time, and we have kept a cap on the number of employees we have. So We have to be very concerned about how they spend their time. And our city manager did some calculations about how much staff time goes into preparing for an advisory board meeting and the aftermath and whatnot. And so what we have decided to do is to try to limit the meetings to 9 a year, all except for the Planning Commission, which has to meet on a regular basis because they have additional statutory responsibilities. And Parks and Rec already, or Rec and Park, already meets just 6 times a year. So we've limited them, the rest of them, to 9 meetings a year, unless, of course, something, an emergency comes up, you can call a special meeting. But otherwise, the regular meetings will be 9. And we have, for CFAC, eliminated March, July, and August. And this was based on the calendar of when you get some of the regular financial reports that you need to review. So those are the changes that we made. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, could you expand upon agenda items? We need to go to the city council to add an agenda item?
Well, in conjunction with staff, yes, especially if it affects the work plan. If it's not on the work plan, if it's not something that the city council is expecting you to do and you want to do it anyway, yes, we would like permission. We've actually put that restriction on ourselves as well and said that if we're going to try to add items to our own city council agenda, if it's going to impact staff time in a negative way and they're not going to be able to work on priorities, then the city manager has the authority to take something off the work plan to compensate for that. So it's really just a restriction to recognize that you're doing the work of the city council, and if you want to do additional work or different work, we need to know what it is and approve of it.
And the approval process, what we would do is we'd have a motion, the CFAC would all agree to a particular agenda item.
Correct.
And then that's in the minutes, and then
correct.
City it would council be some, would say yes. not a problem, which understand that.
Correct.
The other comment you made about subcommittees, the new language in the bylaws does say that the chair is responsible for creating subcommittees. That does not need to go to these city council, at least according to the written documentation.
Well, that's one of the things that we were changing. It's just that if you're going to make changes to your committee, we need to know about it, and it has to make sense with us. Because again, if you're forming subcommittees, you're also impacting staff time most likely. So it's just that we need to know what you're doing, and it has to be consistent with what the work plans are for the advisory board. So we don't intend it to be a very formal or difficult process. It would be something where if you send an email to the city council, we can put it on the consent agenda for the next council meeting, and it should be pretty straightforward if it's not an issue. I mean, it wouldn't be something we're going to discuss. It would go on the consent agenda.
Just for clarification, sometimes there's a short amount of turnaround time. In fact, last meeting we had the CAFR review, so we set up a subcommittee to review that in advance. Can mm-hmm. that just be a standing I'm requesting that in advance because I think that's going to be an annual need.
Yeah, and I understand that, and it had happened before, so that was a little bit of a different issue. It really does have to do more with if you suddenly create one that you've not had before.
Okay, thank you.
And we understand the timing on that, and I did watch your meeting, and I knew about it.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. If well, I'm not here, I do watch your meetings.
And I did announce that last time that you watch everyone that you're not here.
I saw that.
Thank you. And to follow up on Lois's point, if something is on the work plan and we mm-hmm. feel that can be better served with a subcommittee, then we can go ahead and do that at the meeting, assuming we get volunteers for the subcommittee?
I would assume that's the case.
Okay.
It really is keeping up with the work plan and not deviating from the work mm-hmm. plan.
But if we see a reasonable need to deviate from the work plan, that obviously affects resources, whether it's through a subcommittee or through an agenda item, then that we would include in our notes, and Jennifer or her staff would take that to council before we embark on that journey, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
A few comments. One, I generally am in agreement with what you're saying, including I've got two questions. One is the 9 meetings, and that's perfectly fine with me. I think our next review of the WERF packet is in January. Is that correct, Eric?
You'll get a quarterly report in January.
Okay. So if it's January, so that would be January, April, and July. July is one of the months that you had that where we would miss that cycle. So I guess I have a problem with missing. I don't mind the 9 or make it 8. But I think we have two key things, Measure Q and the WERF cost review. So is there something that can be done? The July and August, I presume, was because of summer months.
The council doesn't meet in July, so that was we don't meet in the second half of July, so we are dark, and so that was the reason for selecting July.
And normally you wouldn't have picked August, but because of our workload in the fall,
right, that was the way it fell. But you know, if that's an issue, we can certainly revisit that. That was just the best guess, so it's not cast in stone at this point.
We can try that. If it doesn't work, maybe we substitute August for September or something like that.
If July and August are out, that means that we would go from April to September without a review.
Why don't we recommend, instead of not having a meeting in July and August, not have a meeting in June and August? That would at least enable us to go meet in July right after the June quarterly report comes out from the WRF, if that makes sense, unless Jen and her staff have a workload problem.
So the issue with June is you usually receive the year-end budget, the final budget at that meeting. We were trying to work around a lot of the different agenda items, but maybe September would maybe work instead of
August
or July.
It is up to the staff and the work plan.
The reason that reviewing the quarterly report in July or August is critical in my mind is because it's the year end. The fiscal year end. And I'm assuming that the council would want us to have, give some input before you guys have a look at that report.
It really is up to the staff to make this. This was not something that the council recommended. So if it can be worked out differently, that's fine with the council. It's just that we're trying to cut back on the meetings.
Yeah. We'll substitute July or August. Okay. And for September, so you can see. Most likely we'll have a meeting in July and push off September.
Yeah, if you can have it ready by July for the June 30th, sure, that helps. And I agree, maybe two consecutive months of missing meetings might present more of a gap. So if we can swap out one of those,
sure.
I think we're flexible.
That's fine.
John? The other question, maybe this has been answered and I didn't hear it. I believe we made an official request per the procedures about reviewing contract changes of over $1 million. Did we get a response on that?
It was not, the change was not made to the your duties.
So you rejected that?
Correct. There are procedures in place for reviewing contracts and approving contracts, and we felt it was not necessary. So, and you are loaded.
John?
Well, some of the things I read in the changes is that questions submitted to staff are supposed to be submitted through the chair.
Yes.
Does that ring a bell?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, so am I to infer from that the council does not want individual committee members communicating directly with staff?
Well, it just made sense to actually funnel them through so that if there are similar ones, they could all be consolidated and it can just be produced as a single document to everybody.
Our procedure today is to submit questions to staff, but copying the chair. I don't know whether the chair is going to be too enthusiastic about consolidating the questions.
Well,
Madam Chair, are you going to be enthusiastic about becoming the secretary?
First of all, no, I'm not going to become a secretary. I trust you can write clarifying, intelligent questions. And secondly, there is a balance between putting too much bureaucracy and me saying, okay, everybody, to meet my schedule, you got to submit them 72 hours in advance so I can submit them 48 hours in advance, blah, blah. But I don't mind taking a cursory look at it. I'm not going to consolidate into another document and everything. Most of the questions, and by the way, I've looked at a lot of them, and the only duplication was a couple little things that I had that I knew would get ferreted out anyway. So... But I can see on some committees, and again, the council's trying to direct to all these advisory boards how to do it. Maybe on some of the other committees, they're inundated with questions. Maybe they're repetitive. Maybe they're not related to the work plan. Maybe for newer people, and some of you have done this, sent me them in your first year. But if this is council's wish, I'll work with Jennifer, find out when she needs them, let you know. You guys know.
Well, and if it doesn't work, we can always change it again. I mean, these are the changes that were passed, so I'm kind of reporting back.
Yeah, no, that's right. So we don't want to shoot the messenger. But and some of this, even on the meetings and that, let's just try it and see how it works. If we think that's too burdensome or our members are skilled enough to, you know, put the questions in and you just want to copy the chair, because I do look at them right away. If I see something that I think is, I immediately, you know, contact the person and Jennifer and just say, hey, I don't think this relates. Let's only do it if we have time or, you know, something like that.
So yeah, and flexible. I think that is part of it because the staff is always very responsive and they're willing to do, and we almost need to just make sure that what they're doing is really necessary and it's a good use of their time, and the chair can provide that kind of oversight role for.
And we even go so far as, hey, just copy the chair. I will respond within, you know, 12 hours to staff if I see anything in those questions that is, you know, inappropriate or duplicated. Anything else? Can you have one more thing? We do have an opening. I'm sorry. Was the date for interviews posted as January 14th? Does anybody know?
I think that sounds right.
Okay.
I think it's tentative still, but that's what we're...
Oh, tentative. Yeah. Okay, that's why I didn't see it.
But
okay.
It's open right now. So
yeah. And there's several boards that are open.
Correct, yes. So. There's two on PWAB, which is one of the other reasons that we said, because some of the WRFCAC members, if they're still interested, could apply for PWAB. So.
Okay. Thank you for that report.
All right.
Very helpful. All right, so that brings us to item A, the consent calendar for the approval of the minutes on November 19th of our meeting. That was last month. And I didn't see any updates. Did anybody see anything they want? Okay, I'll take a motion, entertain a motion to approve. Lois, go ahead. Oh, I thought you were reaching.
Go ahead, Lois.
I make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Lois.
Second.
John, second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Did you get that? That was Lois making the motion and John Martin seconding. All righty. That takes us to the business items, agenda item B1. We'll start with a brief finance update from our finance director. Go ahead, Ms. Calloway.
Thank you. To kind of piggyback off of Councilmember McPherson, starting in January, our meetings will start at 3 o'clock, as the committee requested. That was discussed in the staff report.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that. Can you say that a little slower?
Our meetings will start at 3 o'clock starting in January.
Okay.
That was requested by the committee and was approved by the staff report for the City Council when they did the bylaws and for the advisory board. So I wanted to mention that. We are still working on CAFR with all the drafts that have gone back and forth, but we'll be finalizing that end of this week, early next week, to get that submitted to Government Finance Officers Association, GFOA. And then you'll receive a final draft in January, and hopefully it'll go to the council at the end of January with our auditor presenting that.
And we'll discuss that more on item B2.
Correct.
Okay.
Also wanted to let the committee know that we were fortunate enough to receive three scholarships this year for staff members to attend the CSMFO conference, which means their registration is completely paid for, so we just have to get them down there. which is a great learning opportunity. It's about $500 for registration per person, so it's a good savings for the city. We wouldn't be able to afford to send them everybody there. So in total, we will have five of us going to the conference this year, three first-time attendees.
That's good, because I think that's a very good way to bring up some people, provide training as well as experienced people usually attend these as well. So it's a good learning opportunity. Thank you. Absolutely. That's excellent.
And then we wanted to wish everybody happy holidays. Hope you have a good holiday season. And on that note, City Hall is closed, or city facilities are closed the week of Christmas, starting Monday through Friday. So if anybody out there is listening and needs anything from City Hall, you might want to do it in the next few days. So
that's December 23rd, Monday, to December 27th, Friday.
Correct.
City Hall is closed. Okay, thank
city
you.
City facilities are closed. Building inspections will occur on the 23rd and 24th.
Okay.
I'd like to make a comment on the scholarships. It should be recognized that you obviously went to some trouble to know about this, to apply for it, and to efficiently apply for it. Those working for a nonprofit, we try to find those things. They're not easy, so I do congratulate you on going out of your way, because obviously that opportunity was probably there in the past. So I think it's fantastic that you were able to do whatever magic you did to get that.
Thank you. Sandy was actually received one last year, and we got notification of it opening, and within, I think, 30 minutes, Tracy is one of the recipients this year, but Tracy, Carly, and Cherie got their applications right in and were awarded, so I'm excited that they get to go.
Thank you, Bart, for those comments, and thank you, Sandy and Tracy and everybody. Anything else on item B1?
Nope, that's all for that item.
All right, let's move on to the CAFR, item B2. And actually, in the staff report, it said that we selected a subcommittee at our last meeting. I think we had a recommendation for members, but I don't mean to imply to the two members that weren't in attendance of the meeting. We did not. So, okay. I think I specifically said I will talk to both of them, so. And the other gentleman was willing to serve if needed, but felt Lois and John were quite capable and qualified. So anyways, maybe we start up here with our subcommittee report and questions. I saw some very good questions, and thank you, staff, for answering those. I think it was quite thorough. But John and Lois, if you would like to take over.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about the difficulty the staff has with the auditors and getting this whole thing done by that by that December 31st deadline for the GFOA submittal. And well, we were supposed to receive the audit by the 2nd, I believe, and we actually received it on the 5th, and it was a draft dated 12/4. This is not coming over the airwaves?
Static.
Oh.
We want you to be heard loud and clear.
Okay. So we received on the 5th a draft dated 12/4, and a few hours later we received another draft dated 12/5 because the 12/4 draft had pages missing. And so then on the 6th we received the management's discussion and analysis, which is written by Jennifer, and she can't even start on that until she gets the draft financial statements, which so she turned that around in one day, which was very admirable. And then the committee met for 2 hours on the 9th, and unfortunately there was some confusion during that meeting because two of us had the December 5th draft and one of us had the December 4th draft. And so as we were trying to compare pages and such, we had a little bit of confusion there. But we did spend 2 hours on it. We came up with primarily a list of corrections and typos and misplaced numbers and these kinds of things. There were a handful of substantive things that we wanted to talk to staff about, but not very much. And then I was assigned to meet with staff, and so I made an appointment with Jennifer, and I met with Jennifer and Sandy on the 12th, and we went through all of the committee's comments. Unfortunately, during that meeting, I was working off of the December 5th draft, and they had now a December 10th draft, I believe it was. And so, once again, we had an issue with page number differences, and there was a lot of confusion as to what we were talking about. So, but we did get through it, and I think the staff had caught pretty much most of the things that the committee caught. There were errors in the report. And then also after, or I guess actually at the meeting the subcommittee had, we also received the comments from GFOA from the previous year, and we received this transmittal letter, but we still had not received the statistical section, which I guess now is included in the December 10th draft. And so there were elements of the comprehensive annual financial report which the committee was not able to review and has not even to the state reviewed, and of course now we've lost one of the members of our committee, so and then of course we didn't get any kind of letters from the auditor in regards to internal controls and those kind of things that they do after the fact. So the way I'm looking at this is turning into kind of a two-step process where the committee is looking at this in December as just kind of a proofreading exercise to assist staff to detect errors and omissions and such. But then as far as doing any kind of a report to the full committee or doing a more comprehensive review, I think that's going to have to take place in January, because we won't have the full document. And so, and there's, you know, I looked at our work plan that the council has given us, and there's actually no deadline for us to actually accomplish the work, except that it makes sense that we do it in time to give the council a recommendation, which I understand from Jennifer that they will be receiving this at their second meeting in January.
That's what we have tentatively scheduled.
Right. So if the committee can complete its work and provide the report to the full committee, if the subcommittee can do the work by the January CFAC meeting, I think that would fit our task. And my recommendation would be that we just keep the committee in place and perhaps add one more member. And then have the committee meet again and produce a report for the January meeting.
Certainly sounds reasonable and logical. Jennifer, have you had time to think about this or discuss it with the subcommittee?
So Mr. Martin met with Sandy and I last week, mm-hmm. And we've gone through several of their the committee's comments and are making some adjustments to the MD&A and adding additional notes. We didn't have any issue with any of the comments provided, but it's the process of getting that back to the auditors. They're still making some tweaks here and there, so there's multiple drafts that continue to go back and forth, so it doesn't make sense for you to review again. We'll have this finalized December 31st at the latest, so you would have, in theory, 3 weeks to look at a final draft of this and provide a report back to the whole committee in January.
Okay. So that sounds reasonable. We'll keep the standing subcommittee open, and perhaps maybe we have another member if there's somebody interested, or maybe when we have the new applicants, new member join, whatever. And I think part of it is the proofreading and everything, that's good. Our review of this and our suggestions are really going to be based on the people we have on the subcommittee and on this committee that have the willingness to do it and also have the background and are capable of doing it. So, I'm fine with that.
Well, one of the things that we discussed was the benefit of any suggestions we have. The report will have already gone in. Mm-hmm. So the suggestions will be prospective, meaning for future, like for future,
which reports. Is like what we did 1 year, I believe, right? We did that last, Mm-hmm.
So it is just a living, you know,
living, breathing document goes on. And as long as those suggestions are helpful to you, again, it goes back to the workload, the resource balance. But if you find them helpful, and in all indications were in the past they were, then we'll continue to try to assist however we can. Well, thanks, John.
So can I understand what will happen now is the suggestions have already gone to the auditor? They're going to be incorporated, and then a final product will be available 31 December to be reviewed, and then any additional comments that the subcommittee has will be presented to the City Council. Is that the plan, then, John?
Right. So all we've done so far is just meet with staff, and we really have no report to submit to the committee, and that won't take place until January after we've had a chance to review the full, complete, final document.
And just to clarify, all of the comments and edits that were shared with us related to the financial statements themselves and the notes have been sent back to the auditor. I'm working still on updating the MD&A because we were going to add some additional notes and clarify a few things. So we're almost there with that part.
Okay. And that's kind of what you said, I think, that you submitted them all.
So now all we need is a third member of the subcommittee.
That's an open invitation. No, I don't appoint. I want, you may think about that and respond at your leisure. Look at your schedule.
My problem is I have another finance meeting that I'm sharing that has to report out now.
Mike on.
I just have some conflicts early in January. I'd be happy to do that. Would we meet like the 3rd or 4th of January, something like that, whatever? Would it be available then?
Say, yeah. If any of you want to think about it and volunteer, maybe by the end of the meeting, get with John and Lois after and see. And if not, we may have a new member. We're fine with that, yeah. Thank you.
So depending on how long you want to review this, your new member won't get appointed until the 14th at the earliest.
That's true, yeah.
So that doesn't give a lot of time for that person.
Okay. So Plan B doesn't look real doable. Okay, so I invite everybody to think about it, check their schedule, and thank you, John, for asking, and Lois. Thank you both for doing all that so far. Okay, so I don't think there's any motion or any approval. It sounds like you did your work. The recommendations were accepted. It's a work in process. We have the subcommittee as a standing subcommittee for this activity. It does relate to our work plan, so that should conclude item B2. All right, thank you all. That takes us to agenda item, business item B3. That would be review of last fiscal year, 2018-19, unaudited transactions from the collection of the local sales tax, the 1/2 cent, commonly known as Measure Q. So thank you for that, those detailed reports and the general ledger listing. And I saw some questions. I thought they were all answered ahead of time. For item B3, and I see that, Jennifer, you and your staff took some action items for some mid-year adjustments on the Measure Q, so that looks good. I'll open it up for public comment. Anything on Measure Q? Seeing none, close public comment. Go ahead. Oh, okay. All right, so... So for this item, does anybody have any further questions or items they would like to discuss that weren't addressed previously? Go ahead, Bart.
Just so that I'm clear, the revenue, which is a good thing.
Yes, I saw that.
It's up 13% from the assumptions that were made. So that presumably means that the rate didn't change for some reason as far as what we get. That would mean that tax revenues were up 13%. Is that a correct assumption?
Mostly.
I mean, part of it, there's some budget adjustment there. Yeah.
Sales tax revenue was up across the city. This is a transaction tax, so a little bit different than a sales tax, meaning if you go buy a car in Fresno, we're going to receive a transaction tax for that here, So it's a little different. But overall, in general, it's fair to say sales tax was up across the city.
Is that, what do you attribute that to? And is whatever that is going to keep going? Or is it we all bought our new cars and that's it? Or?
Well, actually, that is one of the things that the our sales tax consultant pointed out during our last meeting, is they're seeing a slowing trend in the auto category because a lot of people have gone out and bought new cars with interest rates being low. So they're not seeing that surge as much as they were. Also, if you remember last year, there was that issue with the reporting system for the state with sales tax. So our, every time we got an update from our consultant, they were kind of guessing where we were going to end because sales tax wasn't being recorded properly across the state. And they were having to true up. So I think that probably leads into a little bit of why the budget estimate was lower than actuals. The economy continues to do well. They continue to say it's starting to flatten out. I'm not sure we're seeing that yet in our numbers, so we keep watching it closely.
And Bart, I just want to point out that there's a little formula error in there, so it's 11%, not 13.
No, I think.
I'm sorry. Based on what the original assumption was, if you take that number, it's 13%. If you take the amended number, it's 11%. So
yeah,
I
but the original is what was the budget, which is a forecast based on HDL, is what she's saying.
Yeah, I tend to, as you know, try to see where we were relative to what we thought was going to happen a year ago, not making adjustments to sort of reduce those differences. That's the 13 versus 11%.
Well, there was actually a chart, I believe, in the CAFR report that went back to 2010, and then they kind of, you could see there were some years that went up and down, and then they averaged it out. So
that's on page 167 of the financial statement. It's kind of an interesting report to look at.
I thought so, too.
It shows that Measure Q received $100,000 in tax revenue from auto sales greater than the category in the general fund, which is just basically, I think, auto repair.
Right. But regardless, the good news is, Bart originally said, it is going up. We can't, since there is a component in there that is not consistent year to year, because people don't buy cars every year, that it may not go up that much next year. But that is good news. And I think the CAFR, if you go through that, there are some very good statistical charts that will give you some good history of what's going on here. So thanks, Bart, for that. Anybody else have anything else on the Measure Q? Homer, go ahead, please.
I have some comments on the staff report. You're recommending that about $4,000 be reversed for the fire department. And I don't concur with that. In this current, in last year's budget for the fire department, they budgeted $14,000 for radios, which was a 10% city match for a grant for $140,000, which they didn't receive. And so that $14,000 wasn't expended. And in the financial report, in the transmittal letter, on page Roman numeral 7, it says department heads may transfer resources within their departments as they see fit. So I figure if that's in the formal document, that why the fire department can't transfer the $4,000 into the line item for the radios, which wasn't spent.
So that is certainly a recommendation that the committee can make. The past committees, when we've had these discussions, you've approved budgets by a line item. There's very specific detail with the Measure Q budgets, even how they're presented in our budget book. Whereas the general fund will say contract services, and we don't give you detail necessarily what that is. Measure Q budget points specifically to handheld radios and PPE. Because it says that, we've honored the wishes of this committee in the past, which if we've deviated from those expenditures, we brought it forward to the committee. So if the committee is fine with those $4,000 being spent on PP&E rather than handheld radios, we won't bring it back as a mid-year adjustment. But based on previous conversations, that's what I had understood the intent of the committee when approving budget.
So that's a good point, Jennifer. We want to be careful. I guess we don't start a precedent where, geez, if we overrun one or mischarge something accidentally, of course, let's just hope something else underruns and we'll move it around. But I do believe it's reasonable to bring it back. Or in the past, we would just move it forward and, you know, approve it for the next year, too.
Well, my rationale for making that, if this would have been from equipment to payroll, I would have been opposed to it. Mm-hmm. But it's all in the same supply lines. And if it's transferred back to the general fund, it just means there's $4,000 less in the general fund to buy fire department equipment. Mm-hmm. And if he asked for it again this year, we'd approve it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know if how many people have read the survey that the city just posted on their website of the 300 people they had. And the public safety gets a lot of rave reviews.
Mm-hmm. As they should.
Yeah. Can I continue?
Or do we want to make a recommendation on this and so we can close?
Yeah, I guess we have to do that first.
Any other comments on what Homer and I were discussing?
In a minute. So now I'm going to really ask for some money. According to the staff reports and the balance sheets and the stuff, Measure Q at the end of June has a surplus, excluding the reserve for the fire debt, of about $300,000.
Okay.
I did a little research on the equipment lines and public safety, and because of the budget constraints over the last 4 or 5 years, the easiest place to cut is in non-personnel items, equipment. But it doesn't mean the equipment's not getting older and, you know. And in the last 5 years, excluding $70,000 the police department has requested for body cameras, their equipment budget is actually $5,000 less than what it was 5 years ago. And that includes adding both of their general fund and Measure Q requests. In the fire department, their budget is up a little bit, but it's when you add the two together, it's about $15,000 spread over 5 years. So it's gone from $116,000 to $130,000. And since the citizens voted for the half percent to tax themselves a half a percent, they wanted the money spent. They didn't want it to be hoarded. And so what I'd like to propose is that of that $300,000 that is an excess, that we recommend to the city council that they take $100,000 of that and split it between police and fire for the equipment expenses that be added to the 1920 budget, and the city council would review that in their mid-year budget process. And the city council may reject it completely. But the kind of equipment these guys have has life expectancies, and they use it and it wears out. Anyway, that's what, just something throwing out on the table. I mean, the $100,000 I just dreamt up. I mean, others might have a different idea.
Well, I don't think it's being hoarded. That's maybe a word I wouldn't use, but that's okay. We may be
reserved.
Reserved. And in the past, sometimes we have started with more amounts going to capital replacement a couple years ago, and then we reduce that the last year or two. So rather than just take this and say, here, put it here and there, I would like to see it go to a capital replacement, or let the definitely put some of it back and let the council decide at the budget time where it should go. We have requests for, you know, everything from body cameras to cardiac monitors to, you know, more street work, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm with you on that.
Well, why just $100,000?
That's why I said only a third of it. That's
oh, okay.
What is going to happen to the $300,000 that's left over? Should it all not be expended in the four areas? And how do you divide that?
Let me give you a little more information before you make a decision on that. Part of the problem with Measure Q is that it gets sales tax money after the fiscal year has ended for both the months of May and June. So that cash is not actually available to support what you want to do with it during the year. So, for example, on June 30th of 2019, the Measure Q fund ended up with a cash balance of $29,649. And in the year before, it finished the year with a cash balance of $30,854. So it, because it has this big receivable coming in, it has a big fund balance, but that money is not actually in the bank to spend during the fiscal year. So I would recommend that the budget stay the way it is.
Isn't those the receivable received pretty quickly after the close? I mean, when do you get 60 days. Your sales?
60 days.
When is the quarter sales tax?
Within 60 days, usually into August, September.
So it was within 60 days, it turns into cash.
It does.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just.
So Bill had a question. If we don't do anything, he was asking where that money goes, and I think you can general.
So if you don't allocate or appropriate the funds, it sits in fund balance, so your savings account, per se. That's what we came back for last year and asked to buy the police vehicle out of, was fund balance. Mm-hmm. In the years past, we've used that. The committee's recommended it be added to the pavement management program for additional street work. You can recommend appropriating it at any time, and then council approves it. You do run into that challenge. You might carry a negative cash balance, depending on when you're appropriating it and when money's coming in.
And I would imagine that between now and the mid-year budget review, that staff is going to determine there are some needs that fit within Measure Q authorization, and you'll be bringing those to the committee. We don't have to be telling you what we think those needs are, right?
Correct. So if your direction is that you don't want to see a large fund balance, I would suggest that you give staff a chance to determine what the most desirable or most needed things are, whether it's equipment, pavement management, speed survey, something like that, and then let us come back with a recommendation for you.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, there was 180,000 balance carried from 2018.
There was, and I think 40,000 went back somewhere, 42 or something. But I'm okay with it in the fund balance, too, but I don't want it to grow too large. I think Homer has a good point. I'm concerned it could be a little more premature to tag that those funds right now till we see a little more.
You also want to balance out if sales tax were to come in under budget in a year or two. You would want to have some fund balance available in case their appropriations have already been spent.
Right. And you're going to have to amend the budget for the carryover item on the vehicle.
That's correct.
$44,000.
Correct.
And that's going to come out of the fund balance.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
So that didn't go anywhere, the 100 grand? Can I get 50?
Well, my feeling is we talked about what you can put on an agenda. I mean, that's a pretty major item. The 4,000. Without knowing a lot, I probably would have said fine. $100,000, I think we need, personally, I would like more discussion and more input from the staff, as well as the departments that obviously are like your idea. So I would personally not be prepared to move forward on $100,000 at this meeting. And that seems like that would be an agenda item, or that would be part of what staff would bring forth.
When they submit their A, B plans, and then we see maybe something that might not otherwise make the A list on Measure Q, we pull it from the B list. And I think we have a little more information and knowledge at that time to make a specific. We're not against this, but.
So, yeah, in January, we'll be pulling together the mid-year report. You'll receive that in February, and then maybe that will help
Yeah, and I think that's a factor. You have a big fund balance, so maybe we can approve more than our projected budget amount this year.
Isn't the cash there now? We're talking 30 June. I mean, we're talking sales tax that could come in a couple, 3 months later, but you're saying that cash is still not there?
No, we've received that cash. I think the discussion is about when is it appropriate to make a recommendation on use of those funds.
I don't think the staff has ever provided a cash flow statement for Measure Q for the committee. We don't really know how the cash comes in and goes out during the year as far as like the road work and such.
Or we're saying there's a $300,000 surplus that we have not spent of Measure Q money, and the question is how should the city be using those funds? We can put that as an agenda item that in January staff will come back with a recommendation that money should be used as such.
No, I think what we need to do is encourage the city council to budget it. Between the three areas, the three department heads that are out here, I know that they always ask for more money than we ever see. So it's up to the three of them to lobby to get more funds for their departments. But let the city council figure it out.
And keep in mind, if you go and look at the cash balance in our Measure Q fund today, it's not going to be $300,000 because sales tax comes in every month, but we may make more expenditures out of that. You know, you're constantly, it's an up and down scenario depending on what gets charged that month.
I think the consensus is, Homer, is we're not prepared to do it today. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. Anybody's welcome to make an agenda.
I would say in general, though, the point is well taken.
Absolutely.
That there's a large balance. The citizens expect it to be used for as intended. And
yeah.
So I think we all agree on that.
And that has been citizen input over the decades some of us have been on this committee. Usually before, a lot of it was put in reserve for the pavement management so they could do more work in alternate years. But now, because the funding's increased through some other revenues avenues, we don't have to do that anymore. So, okay, thank you.
I had a question for Mr. Liebeck, as long as he's here.
On this item, sure. Go ahead. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Rob Liebeck, Public Works Director.
In the process of walking around a little bit in the North Morro Bay, I've noticed that some of the streets that have, not recently, but in the last 4 or 5 years have been coated, have got some significant failure spots. And I was curious, when is the city going to quit coating and start rebuilding?
Using the coating methodology is a way to stretch our pavement dollar because we found that we could do one or two miles of reconstruction work versus 10 miles of coating work. Now, the coating work has a lifetime of probably 4 to 10 years, depending on which methodology. And we're starting to see that, like Tide, the first one that we tried, triple layer,
is
unraveling now.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll recoat that one because it really won't do any good on that street. So we really need either a significant influx of new funding to make an appreciable difference on the amount of streets we can do, or we'll relook at this at our pavement management plan revisions that we're doing this year and to see if there are some more creative solutions. Talking with the consultant we've selected, they are actually recommending, instead of doing the triple layer, which was the savior of money for pavement, they're going with thin overlays because the cost is about the same because asphalt is, the ceiling prices have come up. So a thin overlay will give much more life than a triple layer seal. So we'll probably add that to our quiver of pavement rehab techniques. But we are revising the plan and reassessing all the streets in Morro Bay this winter to establish a new hierarchy of pavement this spring. So you'll see a new pavement management plan.
Thank
you. I don't know if that was an answer or not.
That's a good answer. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you, Rob. That is a very good answer. I've heard those questions, too.
I'm glad to hear that we're looking at maybe there's a better way to skin a cat, because I had asked about this mm-hmm. 6 months ago, and the answer I got was very different from the one I just heard. Before, it was there are no new ways to build a mousetrap, which was hard for me to believe, but it sounds like we are seeking better ways to build a mousetrap and looking out for a better approach. And I appreciate that that's happening now.
All right. Thank you. John?
Jennifer, questions about the $39.90 for the PPE. Was that just a mistake that occurred as far as bookkeeping goes, and you discovered it after the fiscal year ended? And then secondly, how were you planning on correcting that? Were you going to just do a transfer from the general fund to Measure Q, or how was that going to happen in this fiscal year?
So there's PP&E categories in both general fund and Measure Q for fire. They were all PP&E related expenditures. There were the down coats that go under the wildland gear that when they're out on wildland firefights, and the chief can answer to headlamps was an example of one. I think wildland boots. It wasn't that they weren't PP&E necessarily, but it was over expense from the budget that was approved. So in coding the invoices, they got coded to Measure Q, should have been general fund. And that's where, if the committee wishes to approve them, we won't bring it back at mid-year. My plan was to just do a transfer and note that it was an O back for those items.
So then, can we assume that the request or the budget for PPEs in this fiscal year will be affected at all by the overspending last year, or no?
No.
No.
Thanks, John.
Can I make a motion?
You go ahead.
Anybody have any other comments about Major Cat? The Citizens Finance Advisory Committee accepts the district transaction tax report for the year ending 2019 with the following recommendation. Not to transfer the staff's recommendation, not to transfer the $3,990 the staff recommends from Measure Q to the general fund.
Second to that motion, please.
Can I clarify? I think you might have that backwards. You mean don't transfer from the general fund to Measure Q?
No, your recommendation said it would be transferred back to the general fund because it was erroneously, spent on something different than otherwise identified Measure Q spending.
Staff also recommends the general fund reimburse Measure Q. Oh, you're right. Yeah. For these expenditures with the total amount. Oh, I misread the whole thing completely.
So we're saying that the general fund owes Measure Q almost $4,000 because these were coded to the wrong account. If your recommendation is that you're okay with the expense staying in Measure Q, then there will be no mid-year adjustment.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misinterpreted it too. Okay, so no motion needed, rescind that motion. Okay, is that okay? Or how about just accept the, reread it, Homer, without the exception?
Well,
no, reread your motion.
We accept. I went on to say, we've got the report, accepting the report, but
the staff recommendation is receive and approve the unaudited transactions, and that's what I was thinking.
We don't recommend that the general fund reimburses Measure Q.
That's what you're saying, Homer?
Yeah, for the $3,990 of personal protective equipment.
Okay.
There's a...
Homer, can, well, I wonder, can, should we, this is my guest question for staff, do you need us to include in the motion the issue of the carryover for the vehicle?
No, because you'll get that to approve formally in the mid-year. I just wanted to let you know that that would be coming at mid-year.
Then I'll second Homer's motion.
Okay, and perhaps Tracy wants to read that back to make sure before we vote we understand what we are voting on.
CFAC accepts the district transactions report year end 2019. The recommendation to not transfer the funds of 3999 from Measure Q to the general fund.
I might be able to simplify this. What happens if you just don't include this in the staff report to the city council?
I can. I'm hearing that that's the direction, so you can just accept this report as long as there's no objections.
I'm going to rescind the motion and just leave it at the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee accepts the district transaction tax report for the year ending 2019.
Okay, John, you second that? All right. Bill seconded that. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thanks. Might need some more training on Robert's Rules when the new members.
We'll get there.
Okay. Thanks. All right. So that was item B3. One more thing related to that. I'm sorry. We typically present that, summarize that, or we have in years past, and present that to City Council. Is that still the expectation?
Yes, that is. It usually happens in January, I believe.
Okay.
But we can work on scheduling that with you.
Okay. If the committee is okay with that, the CFAC committee, I'd be happy to summarize that in a PowerPoint presentation at a city council meeting like we've done in years past. I can do it in 5 to 8 minutes so that it doesn't have to be a... But I think the good thing about that is that it does communicate to our community, here's the Measure Q, here's what we're earning, here's what we're spending, here's what the committee recommended, which and that's why we do it. So if this council is still expecting that, I'd be happy to do it. Okay. Thank you. All right, then that will take us to item B4, discussion to provide greater transparency by expanding Table 2, the WRF quarterly report budget revision summary, and show the amounts and estimates to complete for each contract. And we wanted to have a verbal discussion on that. So would anybody like to start on exactly what we've had a little high-level discussion, but go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. We've talked about trying to get easier clarification of what the actual costs have been and what the forecast costs will be. And so there has been some discussion with both Carola, with Eric Caceres and Jennifer about a way to modify the quarterly report and include in it what the contract prices are. It's in the current quarterly report, although it's difficult to find the prices and just have one chart right after the current Table 2 that would just list all the existing contract prices, what the Overland contract price was, with the current prices, with the Corolla prices. And so I think Corolla has a proposal to show us of how they would incorporate that kind of transparency. The belief being, having actual contract prices, it's very easy for CFAC or any citizen to be able to assess, okay, here is exactly what we're spending now, and then these are the estimates to complete on areas that we don't have contracts in place as yet.
Okay.
So could Eric, did you want to come talk to us with what we're presenting, or has everyone here and CFAC gotten a copy of what Eric's proposing?
Is that this thing right here? that we were given right before the meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's what, let me just hand out, you may have seen these. This is the what I'm showing here is the existing Table 2 in the quarterly report, which is on the top. And then a proposal or a thought was at a Table 2.1, and I think what Eric is proposing, just have a Table 3 that really has the content that is shown on this chart, which shows the elements, WRF, conveyance facility, recycled water facilities, and general project, and then has what the actual contract cost is, what the original estimate was, what the initial contract value is, what the current contract value is, what we've spent to date, and then what the estimate is at complete. And then at the very bottom, you can tally it, and you'll see what the difference between 126 million and the current estimate at complete, and that's what your contingency is. So any discussion that Homer and Bart and I have worked on this as kind of an informal subcommittee to come up with an approach like this?
Yeah, I've been gone up until a couple days ago, so I haven't gone over this latest bit. But just, and I'm assuming since Eric passes out that he's okay with this page? He's nodding. Thank you. This does a couple of things. One, for example, the Corollo cost, it aggregates them all, so we don't have to say, well, some's here and some there. The other thing that I believe that it does, I think it allows us to correlate rather directly with the city budget, because the city budget has some line items, and as, without seeing the details now, it seems to me that this lines up with the categories that Jennifer has put in there, because you can literally go and find, you know, there's a bunch of city cost items, if you will, some of which are those contracts like Kestrel and others. Then there's, you know, some general costs, you know, for example, the maintenance costs that are there, startup costs, the electricity that's in there. So it seems to me that this allows us to better understand how the budgets and forecasts relate, I'm sorry, the forecasts and Corollo estimates relate to the budget, because the only budget is the city budget. Everything else is a forecast or estimate or something like that, so that we don't mix terms. I know I would propose that Corollo not use the term budget other than as it would relate specifically to the city budget. It's somewhat semantics, I understand, but there is only one budget. So anyway, I think this is a great improvement. There would, you know, I could go for more detail, but I think this summarizes it pretty well.
I would respectfully comment that I think that a project has its own budget separate from an annual budget. There is an annual budget and there's a project budget. And I don't, to me, that's, they're very distinct and understandably different.
Okay. I may or may not take exception to what you said. In the city budget, there is a total project budget as well as an annual budget. So if the city does have a project budget that is the one, I don't know, it's 125, 126, it's in that ballpark. So I'm not sure. So there is a budget that has a total as well as the annual. So are you, so.
Okay, just so we're clear, what you're suggesting is that if they use the word budget, aligns with the city's definition of the project budget.
Yes. The budget, yeah, so that.
Well, the city has a budget, and the project has a target cost at complete. They're the word budget and cost oftentimes get interrelated. Clearly, the city has a budget, and then the project has an estimated cost to complete, or they were given an objective of finish the contract or the program within $126 million. And people then say, well, that's your budget. Well, sort of, but that's really the cost. And so quarterly, we get from Carolla, from Eric, what the current estimates are, what the current costs are. And the city budget is the city budget, and that changes once a year, you know, to be consistent with funding what any changes that have occurred to the cost. So,
a couple things about this that are different is that it's for contracts. So that's the reason there's white space in here, because there's been no contract that's been assigned. And the second thing that's been added, second thing has been the contingency broken down by the three phases. At a recent city council meeting, they decided that the project was in three phases rather than one. And finally, there's some footnotes that tell you what some of these numbers mean. Is it possible to get Eric to answer a couple questions? One of the concerns has always been, is this going to take up a lot of your time? And
So Eric Caceres, the WRF program manager. These numbers are all numbers that are being looked at and generated every month and then every quarter at a deeper level for preparation of the report anyway. It's just a matter of the way that the numbers were being presented, or they were not being presented. There's some numbers in here and some additional detail that's being presented that wasn't previously included in the report, and then there's also just a change in the way that we're showing some material. But no, it's not really any additional effort.
That's great. Did our liaison hear that? A little tiny question. Is this the title of this report is going to be Estimates of Completion?
Looking for suggestions on what exactly folks want to see there, but that was we can call it whatever folks see fit. I think that's what we're really driving at with this table specifically, is to understand that estimate at completion, which for this past quarter has been about $125.1 million, you know, what is the breakdown of that $125.1 million, and how do you get from current expenditures and current contracts that have been let to that $125.1
million? Well, when we ended up proposing a change, we thought to minimize any change to your report, just under Table 2, you could have 2.1, but you're proposing just... It doesn't really matter how best to do that. You're adding a table 3 and replacing the current table 3, and each table would just get a subsequently higher number.
That's correct. I think one of the things that I wanted to point out was kind of at the bottom, there's another contracts that's discussed. And essentially, in the current quarterly report, tables 7 through 10 break down some of those other contracts specifically. We've kind of have a distinction between major contracts and other contracts, if you will. And we're talking about major contracts. We're talking about the design build contract with Velons Black and Veatch, Carolla's program management contract, our contract with Waterworks Engineers, who's designing the pipeline. And then as we bring on a designer for the injection wells, it's another quote-unquote major contract. And then obviously the construction of the pipelines and the injection wells we would consider a major contract. So those would be shown in detail in this table. The others, a good example that was brought up earlier is our funding sub, who's we would consider, not a funding sub, but a member of the technical team, Kestrel, who's assisting with funding. It's pretty minor contract. And so those are aggregated in this table for simplicity. But then if you go to those subsequent tables, you can see what they've actually expended. What I'm not showing here in these subsequent tables, and we haven't been showing in the quarterly reports, is for contracts that are closed that we're not currently managing. We don't show the detail on there. Those are represented in kind of these other contracts under the current expenditures to date in that other contracts row. But for example, the Black and Veatch's effort and development of the master plan, it's a pretty significant contract, but that contract has been completed and has been closed. So we're not providing any detail or breakdown of that.
So the prior year costs that are shown in the city's budget of $5.54 million is broken into two pieces here. Part of it is in other contracts, and then the other part is the city costs.
That's correct.
Okay. Good.
Eric, I have some questions. Mm-hmm. So I want to be clear. I think our group is proposing Table 3 in addition to Table 2.1 or in place of it?
It's in place of it. It's just it's a nomenclature thing. It was shown as when Mr. Bowes and Mr. Mm-hmm. Alexander and I met, they showed it as Table 2.1. I'm just calling it Table 3, and I'll renumber the subsequent tables accordingly.
The reason I'm asking that is already I'm seeing discrepancies in the first one, general project city costs, and I'm concerned about doing too many charts, and then now we're going to be reconciling them, and there's more resources. Okay, yeah, that's okay, but this is from a citizen's perspective, and this is transparency. I suspect you're already doing a lot of this in your weekly or as part of the project management, so I'm trying to balance that.
Don't look at the bottom of that of Bill's handout.
First line item, and
just cross it out.
Yeah, I think the table 2.1 was shown for kind of the general format and breakdown.
But you're not going to include this. This
no,
goes away.
No. Table 2.1 was an example that was provided internally by the CFAC members.
I haven't looked at this for a while, but I'm assuming that you can probably eliminate some of the other tables, because some of the contracts were identified like more than once. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go make sure that the same number.
Yeah.
So I think you can eliminate some of those other tables because of this. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yeah, specifically as you get further on in the quarterly report, definitely eliminate some line items from some tables where it would be duplicative of what's shown in this table 3. So I would say that when we present the quarterly report for Q2 of 1920, and that'll be brought to you in January, I will take liberties and make some adjustments to those tables to try to minimize the duplication, and then receive your input and council's input at that point in time.
So maybe I need to, just to clarify, you're going to make a recommendation to the council on if this is what you want to see or not, but we won't be able to make any changes until council weighs in on that. It's the council's already approved the report format, so whatever action you decide tonight, we'll take that back to council and share that with them, and then they'll have the final say if the changes are made or not.
Consistent with the new policies as we discussed earlier, sure. I just want to make sure we understand before we make a recommendation what we're asking and what the level of effort is.
And the belief for this is when one would look at this, almost everything one would need is here. It'll make it a lot easier for the council or anyone to understand where we are and what the estimate at complete is, and so it'll simplify. Mm-hmm. So what we should do is make a motion, if we agree as a committee, that this table should be included in the next report, and then leave it up to.
All we can do is recommend to the city council they consider this in a future report.
Right. That's correct. That's
all
Jennifer
we can do.
Just clarifying. Lois,
did
you have any?
City council will not meet until January. Is that
we
right?
Probably won't see this until the March report.
That's right. I'm sorry, Lois, did you have any comments or anything?
No, actually, I think this is great.
Okay.
It's nice work.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess, Madam Chair, I just wanted to mention as well, when I handed out the new Table 3, I also handed out a revised schedule. And I say revised schedule, this was something that was also discussed with members of CFAC, and it's something that we've heard from during other meetings.
Eric, I'm going to put you on pause because that's the next agenda item.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realize it was two
separate
items.
Hang there, we'll get you. So while Eric is still here, is there any other questions of him?
Not on this item.
Not on this item. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the clarification.
I've got a motion. Is that okay, Bob?
All right. John, did you have anything else? Okay. Just want to make sure everybody...
The Citizens Finance Advisory Committee recommends that the City Council include the estimate at completion report in the future WRF quarterly reports.
The table three, proposed table three.
Well.
Just for clarification.
Maybe Marlis could tell us what would be the most effective way to do this, if this makes sense to
We her. Just did it.
So there's a motion. Did we have a second?
I second the motion.
Okay, so and now you can have discussion, but that's the process, is you can have discussion, take a vote, and then we'll relay that to the council for them to make a determination on.
Okay, before we discuss, Tracy, can you read back the motion, please?
The Citizens Finance Advisory Committee recommend the City Council include the estimates of completion report, Table 3, into future quarterly reports from Corolla.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah. Relative,
okay, thank
relative
you.
To discussion, this is not additive. We're basically, this is, I believe, reducing the number of tables because some of these numbers are in there two or three times. And this table is really not too much different other than it isolates a Corolla cost.
Hold that thought. Okay. I think we need a second to the motion.
I seconded it.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. Okay, you got it. Thank you. Go ahead.
So I don't know if that how that discussion officially gets to Marlis other than she's obviously listening to it. But if we need more of that, one of the complaints is that we're adding things on. I don't believe that is happening here. I think we're making it clearer, and we're trying to reduce some of the other charts so that you don't say if Eric's got to make sure every number is the same. So if one changes for the estimate for the WRF, he's got to go into about three places right now to make sure he gets the exact same number. This would say he doesn't need to do that. We're only going to show it once. So I think it simplifies what's there, and it clarifies some things, and it aligns, I think, better with the way the costs are actually being accumulated by the city, because this matches that. You didn't have a separate cost for Corolla, this part of Corolla and this part of Corolla, I don't believe. I think you have Corolla hits one spot, and that's what this reflects. So I don't know if that discussion goes along with the motion, but to me that's why the motion makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense for several reasons. If it can be summarized on one neat page, if it's more transparency. Does anybody have any idea how many tables this eliminates in the current approximately?
They're like three-line tables, a table that has. But I think there's at least three or four in there
okay. That
are going to get reduced.
Thanks, Bart. Any comments from staff? Any plus, minus, more work, less work?
I think Eric indicated that it wasn't any additional measurable amount of work, so maybe take a vote and we'll relay that on to the council.
Any further discussion?
Just a question, I guess. The City Council has told Corolla this is exactly how you want the report. I mean, I can't imagine they need to get down and tell them how to suck eggs. Just go give us a report. And if you can make it smoother, more efficient, here it is.
Actually, it was agendized with the City Council multiple times for the report format. So
they're happy with the report they're getting, but maybe we give some additional input and they'll take it under advisement and we'll see. Any further discussion? Okay, vote please on the agenda item as submitted by Homer and seconded by Bart. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion? Did you vote for it? Okay. 6-0. Thank you. All right. Now that brings us to item B 4, I believe. And that's the, again, provide B5. Thank you, John. Discussion of expansion of the Gantt chart that is included in Section 4 of the WRF quarterly report. That's the two-page detailed chart Eric distributed before the meeting. Anyone want to, any public comment on this? Seeing none, close public comment. Any discussion up here? Thoughts, questions?
First thought is, yes, it goes certainly in the direction that we've been thinking about. In the effort, again, of not asking for anything additional, is this literally the same document that you review with the council's subcommittee when you review weekly how the project is doing? So in other words, I don't want to see something other than what they see. Is this what they see? Is this what you review with them, same format?
So we'll ask the project manager, Eric Caceres, to step up. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. To exactly answer your question, no, this is not something that we go over with the subcommittee on a weekly basis. However, this is something, so just to really quickly, on a weekly basis, our team meets internally with our scheduler to do weekly updates to the schedule. After that, those updates are made in project. There's several different iterations of the schedule that are developed, essentially, and this is one of them that we use internally to be able to see the milestones. So this is actually something that sits on our internal program management system that somebody can grab at a glance internally to look at the milestones and where they're performing in accordance with the baseline. So it's not something that it's something we really already develop, but it's not really something we publish, meaning it's not something that goes into the quarterly report at this time. But this is literally something that with a couple of changes and cleanups that were done that actually we've been meaning to do, it's something that could be easily included as an appendix or an attachment to the existing quarterly report. Because what it does is it does expand on the kind of the bar chart that's included in the quarterly report currently. And then it also reflects the limited number of milestones that we have in what is now table 14 in the report as well.
Clearly, schedule is really significant here. We had a major glitch to what's happening because of the notice to proceed that you couldn't issue. This is based on some assumption of when you're going to get that, or maybe I missed that as well in the last 3 weeks that I've been gone. So I was asking if this is what you review, what schedule do you review? Because obviously schedule is so key to what's happening in this project. So you must review some detailed schedule with the council liaison. So what does that look like?
We don't go over this detailed Gantt chart schedule during our meetings. We discuss upcoming milestones or the status of key milestones like the notice to proceed for construction of the WRF or when we're planning to receive important milestone or deliverables from Waterworks or the Philance Black and Veatch team. So we're taking the information from this, but for the most part, we're usually referring back to the table that's included in the quarterly report, or if that's been updated, we're referring back to those dates. But we don't go through this schedule line by line during our meetings.
I'm not saying we never do, but there's key milestones, and we clearly, nothing was indicated in the monthly reports about any possible schedule issue until, was it the September report?
I'd have to go back.
I put something like that. So in other words, we had nothing. We missed the date for notice to proceed.
That's correct.
And there was nothing in any of the reports. So I guess go back to the committee here, not necessarily to you now, Eric, but it seems like,
can you explain what do the check marks mean? This seems more detailed than we would want to have in the report. And
sure, those are items that have been completed, essentially.
So those items, we wouldn't. there's no need to report those on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis.
Yeah, I mean, to provide context, I think it's helpful to understand the previous, you know, some of the previous tasks, but certainly those can be hidden or whatever the, whatever the council sees fit that they would like to see.
Mm. Well.
Homer, any?
I'm just wondering, what would happen if you only show the items that are in bold? That would reduce this by about 50%?
Take a look at doing that and shortening up a little bit.
Does that
my concern is it's too much detail for the public and the effort and the questions that will be raised. I'm all for summarizing and what's in the report. I'm concerned that this is going to lead to more questions and, in my opinion, it's too much detail for this committee and our oversight role, but that's just my opinion.
I think the last report, the September report, was a good step where there was the expanded schedule input, and there were about 20 different items with put start and stop dates, which was very helpful. And I think the next iteration was, could we not get something directly out of Microsoft Project Management that would show in an easier form, and this is just too complex. So perhaps another iteration is necessary.
The one thing that we did discuss when we met with Eric was is that this is absolutely zero work for him. It may be more work for Jennifer's staff to reduce it and put it in the back of a staff report than it is for Eric to create it. Am I not correct in this stating that?
Can you repeat your question real quick?
That this is actually no additional work for you. You do this every week anyway, correct?
Sure, yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, so it's just a duplication effort. But I'm wondering whether or not if we just included the major items, which are in bold, whether...
Or if we just put it on the website, the WRF and the people that are interested in looking at all the detail can go there and get it.
Actually, that was one of the things that we were planning to do was to put this expanded schedule on the website.
My concern is the existing timeline is so, it's such a high level that it's really hard to kind of figure out what's going on.
And I'm trying, and I agree, and that's true, but that's why he's meeting with his internal committee and staff and
yeah,
and
but one of the city council members at the last meeting asked a question that's answered on this report.
This is not much detail. What is the notice to proceed date assumption? Which, in fact, there's the only place where I see notice to proceed is line, where is that? But it has a 2018 date. So what is your assumption for this schedule as far as when we're going to get the permits and allow construction to start on South Bay?
Currently, the schedule is assuming the beginning of February for a notice to proceed date for construction.
So that date is here if I look closer?
Yes, it's
closer.
Yeah.
Okay. So February was supposed to be in August, so that's 6 months slip. And then somewhere along there, there's the negotiations with Black and Veatch, which is a money issue.
Correct.
Or have you gotten an agreement with them that since the inflation has not been that great that they're not going to ask for anything?
We're currently in negotiations with them on that.
Is there a ballpark figure on?
We're currently in negotiations on that right now.
Okay, I'm concerned that's a multi-million dollar issue. So the schedule has a big impact. Whatever that cost is, it's because we missed a schedule. And that's a schedule that we had been told was virtually impossible to miss. Because I asked about that, I don't know if you were there or not, probably not, but I asked about this cost not to exceed for Black and Veatch and Overland. And I said, well, at some point, you know, if we don't let them go forward, there could be a change. And they said, oh, I know that, but that can never happen. That really won't happen. That's almost impossible to happen. And it did. And now we're 6 months past that date. So schedule is very, very important here, and I think we're giving it short shrift and not saying we and the council, when they review these things, I think they should be look. I don't know how you make a motion on that. I think schedule ought to be more important, but I think it should.
It is important. We're just discussing the formatting of the reports, the information, our role of oversight, and how it should be managed.
What happens if this was in the quarterly report in an appendix?
I personally think this is the wrong report. I think table 14 that Eric added in the September report was a very good step of listing milestones with start date, original dates, and the including dates. And what we were wanting to do is take something right out of Microsoft Project Management that didn't require any additional work, just make a PDF of it, which is, that's what this is. There may be a simpler one or a smaller one. To me, this is too complex. I don't think the City Council would find much value in it. The
just
other
problem, remind everybody what the agenda item is here. It's discussion of the Gantt chart. So we can't get too far off of what's been agendized for.
That's
discussion.
What we're talking about, Jennifer.
Well, it's delayed a little. It's gone a little off in terms of questions and that kind of thing. So just
the agenda item is, as we said, the format of the Gantt chart. Someone made a recommendation previously we couldn't discuss. We brought it here. We have a sample. Sure. We're obviously all not going to agree on whether this is something that we want to make a recommendation to the City Council. Yeah. I'll certainly entertain a motion.
Yeah.
Any other comments on it?
I think we need further discussion on what else we need to do to recommend an improvement. I think this is too detailed. What's in the current report, Table 14, is a big improvement. The Gantt charts that's in the report now, I think, is of little value to anyone. And so we need to come up with something more concrete that requires very little, if any, effort.
But as
change.
You said, the table 14, is a good start. Let's look at some of this stuff before we start throwing out other suggestions. We already made one recommendation today. Let's see what the response is to that. And then we can certainly decide if we want to move forward with something else or a hybrid between what's in there now and what you're suggesting.
I think we're going to have to take this offline. There's some, like even it said, signed loan with the loan agreement. It says that was completed on August 9th. Is that true?
So that's where I think we're not really talking about the context of here. It's more the format of it, just for agendized purposes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's. I think it is just so the concept. So I think.
Would it be appropriate?
Our subgroup, I think we need to take this back.
I think that's a good point of clarification. If you look at the schedule, the actual start and finish for that task, say NA, meaning that it hasn't been signed, there is a scheduled start and finish, and then there's a baseline as well.
And I think that may be some of our concern in terms of the level of detail, that we have a project manager that's done this before, that's assigned to this, versus all of us going through this. It's going to lead to questions and details and more, and that's what I think borders over being over and above our scope. But that's just my opinion.
And maybe above our scope is what I did for 40 years.
Would it be appropriate to ask Eric if he is driving back and forth to Fresno, he could think about this a little bit and maybe has an alternative suggestion? Would that be appropriate to ask?
I don't know that we ask him. I mean, he's heard the discussion. If he comes up with something and makes a recommendation, we'll certainly, or he goes to council and says, hey, this is what I think might be better, but
so
that's not this item.
Maybe I can help a little.
Okay.
Maybe not. Maybe I'll make it more confusing. The item is discussion of expansion of the Gantt chart that's included in Section 4 of the WRF Quarterly Report. So Eric provided an example. It sounds like this is too detailed from generally speaking based on consensus.
For some of us, yeah.
We're liking the table that was expanded in the last WRF report and the direction that's going. So based on those conversations, it doesn't sound like you have any action item on this one. And we can continue with the way it's in the current report. And if we can add detail, it sounds like the plan is to put this or some version of this on the website anyways. So it would be available for people that are more interested in the detail.
I think that's a good summary. Okay. Anything else? All right. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. All right. So we'll close item B5. And that brings us to agenda item C, future agenda items.
So we will have the CAFR and then the January WRF report.
Well, that might be a full agenda.
And starting at 3 o'clock, so you'll have an extra half hour.
Oh, good, good.
You're going to have the full budget report, the midterm report?
The quarterly WRF report, yes.
Two items, the CAFR and the quarterly, that's correct, Bill, WRF report.
Oh, I'm sorry. We've got another half an hour, but I think the movement to 3 wasn't to add a half an hour. I think it was just to start earlier. So hopefully we can manage this as the two of you are doing well at to keep it at the 2 hours.
That, and there's a 6 o'clock meeting that comes in here, and sometimes our agenda items, like on CAFR, could run a little longer. Doesn't mean just fill up the available time slot. It means just gives us an option for the occasions we need to. So thank you, Council, for consideration of that. We will start, and thank you, Jennifer and staff. We will start the next meeting, which is on Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, at 3 o'clock.
January 21st or January 14th?
21st. I think there was an item misprint on the agenda, but it's already been corrected on the website. And it is, again, it'll be the third Tuesday of January. So it's January 21st, Tuesday here, 3 o'clock.
Okay. January 21st. Okay.
Anything else? I'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
When does the city council meet again? When is the next city council meeting?
That will be the 14th. They meet
so
on the
they
second
meet
the
before us.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's should we not be putting on our agenda item for the January meeting? City Council can look at where they want to spend the additional Measure Q money, and we could talk about that as an agenda item.